Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Antos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today for a short period of time by Gary W. Brummett of the USS Liberty Survivors Association. This is 40 years to the day since Israel deliberately attacked the USS Liberty. Don't believe that? Check out the results of the Moore Commission, which can be found at the USS Liberty website at ussliberty.org. Admiral Moore, former Secretary of State Dean Rusk, and Richard Helms, the former head of the Central Intelligence Agency, are among those who all say that Israel deliberately attacked that vessel, knowing that it was an American vessel. Why did it do it? This gets into some things that Peter Hunan talks about in his book, Operation Cyanide. I'd like to get Peter on this show at some point. Mark Glenn and I have attempted to make contact with him. We'll see if it happens. But suffice it to say that the story of what happened to these men 40 years ago continues to be an ongoing one, both in terms of the lives of those most directly affected by the events of four decades past, but also because what happened 40 years ago is our historical present now. Who is behind this present involvement in the Middle East? Who is behind this desire to go to war with Iran? Who is behind the control of the foreign policy of the United States and the utilization of the armed forces of the U.S. for all kinds of national security operations that have nothing to do with the national security of this country? We're back with Gary Brummett. Go ahead, sir.
If I may break in and bother you.
Sure.
I may have been there 40 years ago, and I may have been a victim of that attack. I've been a victim for the last 40 years of what the government cover up. But I wasn't the only victim that day. Every American patriot and every American, whether he be a patriot or not, in this country was attacked that day. And that's what the American people need to realize. This attack was against all of us, not just one of us. Anybody that attacks the weakest among us attacks us all. And we were unprotected that day. We were a non-combatant. They had identified us. They knew who we were. We were flying the American flag. It's the whole country was attacked that day. And that would be the message I would want to try and get out to wake people up.
Well, that's exactly right. And again, it absolutely boggles the mind that we have a situation here where quite clearly, by any reasonable person's definition, an act of war, a deliberate act of war, was undertaken by the government of Israel against the people and the nation, this nation, and the people of the United States, and certainly the representatives of the armed forces of the United States on the USS Liberty that day. And the fact that you could literally have an act of war occurring on the part of Israel against the United States, and the United States to A, do nothing, and B, to continue subsidizing these people to the tune of the billions of dollars that we subsidize them with every year, it's absolutely beyond the imagination as to how this can be.
Mark, something I would like to do when I have more time, I'm not sure if it would be next week or the following week, I would like to come back on your program, and I would
absolutely
like to present a scenario that I think is what really happened that day. From some events that I've been made aware of in the last week or so, I would like to pose a question, and I would love for us to take some callers, if that's at all possible. You know, if you can have me on in a week or two.
Absolutely. You just tell me when you'd like to come on, and we'll get it arranged. That is absolutely not only no problem, it's something that I want to do.
Right. Mark, I'm gonna have to check out and sign off right now because we've got other events.
Okay, Gary, God bless you, and I'll look forward to getting this thing scheduled for you, sir.
Okay, I appreciate it, Mark. Y'all have a great day.
Hey, convey my greetings to all the fine folks there.
I certainly will. Thank you, Mark.
God bless. We'll be back.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com. Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been covering a series of news stories this morning and also for a time had a hookup with Mark Glenn of the American Free Press, who's on his way to Washington, D.C. to cover the USS Liberty Survivors Association event that's taking place today in Tyson's Corner, Virginia, outside of Washington. June 8, 1967, 40 years ago today, that Israel deliberately attacked the USS Liberty. That's not what Israel says. That's not what their apologist, Aaron J. Kristol, a Jewish bankruptcy judge in Florida, that's not what he says at the behest of the Israeli government. But that is the verdict of Admiral Maurer. That is the verdict of his Maurer Commission. That is the verdict of Richard Helms, the late former director of the Central Intelligence Agency. That is the verdict of former Secretary of State Dean Rusk and others whose names can be found in this report and series of reports, which you will see at usslibertynetwork.org. Go to that website and then go to the War Crimes Report that is there at the top of the page. You can find it, I believe, either in PDF format or in HTML format. Read what the Maurer Commission has to say about this event, folks, keeping in mind who Admiral Maurer was, keeping in mind some of the other people like Rusk and Helms, and the fact that Rusk and Helms in particular were, of course, a part of the American political establishment and the national security establishment. And yet, for all that we might say about Rusk and Helms in regard to their identification with those institutions, they spoke the truth in regard to this USS Liberty situation. With people with those kinds of reputations within the American establishment saying that this is true, and with the eyewitness accounts that we have of what happened that day, people who were actually there, and all of the things that they experienced to affirm that this is true, why does Israel continue to insist that it's not true? Why do their apologists in this country continue to say it's not true? And then this U.S. bankruptcy judge in Florida, our own Jay Kristol, he has written a book which is complete nonsense, which attempts to say that this whole situation was accidental. Kristol, by the way, was not there. He was in the U.S. Navy, but in a non-intelligence, non-combative role. He is relying in entirety on the government of Israel as far as what Kristol puts forth in his book, when in fact the eyewitness accounts refute him. The testimony of Maurer and Helms and Rusk, among others, refute Kristol and refute the Israeli government. And when you really uncover all of the things that you can find at USSLiberty.org and that Mark Glenn has written about recently for the American Free Press, it becomes very clear that this is exactly what Israel did. They did it deliberately. They did it with malice. They killed some 34 or 37 odd American citizens. Approximately 270 were wounded. And in the aftermath of that, we're still trying to figure out the wider context in what happened. Gary W. Brummett, by the way, has made an incredible offer to me today, and I'm going to take him up on it. In a week or two, Gary's going to come back on the show. He's apparently in possession of some new information, which has enabled him, on the basis of his own involvement with this 40 years ago, to construct what he believes to be a very plausible scenario that gets at the bottom of what actually did transpire in that event. But suffice it to say that whether we get to the full truth or not in this lifetime, the fact remains that the folks who perpetrated this, the folks who covered it up, are still doing both on behalf of a much wider agenda. That much wider agenda is globalism. That much wider agenda is world government. That much wider agenda is illegal immigration. That much wider agenda is the promotion of cultural sewage in our land. That much wider agenda is an expanding war in the Middle East. That if you think Iraq is bad and Afghanistan is bad, wait till we go to war with Iran, folks. That, I believe, is the very next thing on the agenda. All of the available evidence points to it. I do not agree with my good friend Dr. Jerome Corsi of WorldNet Daily and Human Events in regard to things Israeli and Zionist, and I certainly do not agree with him that it is not Israel's intention to make this war happen. Clearly it is, and quite obviously the statements of the key people who have in Israel, in their government, in their national security establishment, in their intelligence community, who have spoken on the record about this. These people have made some incredibly provocative statements on the record. Simply check out Haaretz and Jerusalem Post on a daily basis, and over time you will see exactly what I'm talking about. This is coming straight from the horse's mouth. This is what they want. This is what they're pushing for. And certainly when we look at Wolfowitz and Pearl, when we look at Wormser and all of the other fine Jewish neoconservatives who took this country to war with Iraq, the fact of the matter is that their next portion of their agenda is to strike Iran and to do so potentially with tactical nuclear weapons. Look at Presidential National Security Directive 35, if you don't believe this, which quite clearly is in support of Con Plan 8022. That's Con Plan 8022. Look all of this up at Michael Chosadowski's site at globalresearch.ca, and you will discover that it's all being put in place. That brings us then to a story from 2 days ago. Gary Loop, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, L-E-U-P-P. He's a professor at Tufts University. He has a very, very interesting, provocative piece at Counterpunch entitled Potty's Crazy Prayer, referring to Norman Podhoretz, the editor-at-large of Commentary Magazine. Mr. Podhoretz's crazy prayer is to bomb Iran for Israel and America. Gary Loop at Tufts University then proceeds. He says that Norman Podhoretz, the editor-at-large of Commentary Magazine, and with Irving Kristol, one of the godfathers of the neoconservative movement, recently published an op-ed column in the Wall Street Journal that literally constitutes a prayer for President Bush to attack Iraq. Unsubtly titled, "The Case for Bombing Iran, I Hope and Pray that President Bush Will Do It," unquote, it is a work of eloquently simplistic and hysterical propaganda, truly a model of the genre. I recommend it as a seminal document of the Bush era prior to what may well be its crowning disaster. It's lengthy but worth reading closely as a concentrated statement of the argument we will probably hear in ever shriller pitch in the coming months. Iran, Podhoretz believes, betraying no trace of self-doubt, wants to acquire nuclear weapons in order to destroy Israel. Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has, quote, repeatedly and unequivocally, unquote, announced Iran's intention to, quote, wipe Israel off the map, unquote. Not only that, Podhoretz avers, perhaps to deflect any suggestion that he's narrowly concerned with Israel, Ahmadinejad cherishes a larger dream of extending the power and influence of Islam throughout Europe. And this, too, he hopes to accomplish by playing on the fear that resistance to Iran would lead to nuclear war, unquote. Islamization, analogous to Finlandization, is already well advanced in Europe. This will only get worse, Podhoretz charges, citing fellow neocon John Bolton with quote-unquote Iranian nuclear blackmail. Moreover, Ahmadinejad wants a world without America, quote-unquote. Thus, the Iranian president and regime and nuclear program must be eliminated through the deployment of U.S. power. Podhoretz has faith that this will happen, predicting that Bush will, quote, within the next 21 months, order airstrikes against the Iranian nuclear facilities from the three U.S. aircraft carriers already sitting nearby, unquote. Since Podhoretz has the ear of very powerful people, this prophecy should set off alarm bells. Notice how the day after Podhoretz's piece appeared, International Atomic Energy Agency Director in Chief and Nobel Prize laureate Mohammed El-Baradei referred to, quote, new crazies who say, let's go and bomb Iran, unquote, adding that he did not want to see another war like the one in Iraq. But the attack supplicant confesses some uncertainty on the point, expressing concern that the respectable tool of diplomacy, quote unquote, which Podhoretz equates with craven appeasement, might win out over the bombing option he urges. Sanctions alone, he emphasizes, will not bring down the Iranian regime, and in any case, quote, there is simply no chance of getting Russia and China, or the Europeans for that matter, to agree to the kind of sanctions that are the necessary precondition, unquote, for regime change. He suggests, hopefully, however, quoting yet another fellow neocon, Robert Kagan, that in his less bellicose approaches to Iran, Bush is merely, quote, giving futility its chance, unquote. Several recent reports suggest that Cheney is contemptuous of the limited diplomatic process favored by Condoleezza Rice and strongly backs a plan now in effect to disseminate propaganda and disinformation about Iran and sabotage some of its currency and international financial transactions preparatory to the bombing plan the neocons have long favored and which remains on track. In the background of Norman Podhoretz's discussion is an elegantly misleading periodization of recent history, borrowed from Elliot Cohen, a Johns Hopkins professor of strategic studies, who has been called, quote, the most influential neoconservative in academe, unquote. Ominously, Cohen was recently appointed by Condoleezza Rice as the new counselor of the State Department. Over the last century, there have been four world wars. In World War II, the U.S. fought against fascism. In World War III, the term some neocons used for the Cold War, the U.S. fought against communism. We are now in World War IV, fighting against Islamofascism. Podhoretz does not define the ism at issue during World War I, which might affect the model. I'd say it was imperialism on both sides, neither of them worth supporting, and that imperialism's been at the root of all these wars. Islamofascism, Podhoretz proclaims, is, quote, yet another mutation of the totalitarian disease we defeated first in the shape of Nazism and fascism and then in the shape of communism, unquote. We'll be back with Gary Loop's piece, Bomb Iran for Israel and America, when Mark Dankos America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Back. This is Mark Dankos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've done a couple of things this morning. We've been covering some interesting news stories. We've also had Mark Glenn on from the American Free Press. Mark is en route from Minneapolis to Washington, D.C., where he is going to be covering the USS Liberty Survivors Reunion, which is taking place at Tyson's Corner, Virginia, outside of Washington today. 40 years after Israel's attack on the Liberty on June 8, 1967, I have urged the listeners once again to go to ussliberty.org for all of the most compelling information as we presently know it in regard to what happened four decades ago. Take a special look at the top of that USS Liberty page where there is something there called the War Crimes Report. It's there in HTML format. I think it's there in PDF format. It will give you the lowdown on what happened 40 years ago as we presently know it. and it corroborates what we all know is true at this juncture, and that is that Israel undertook this attack deliberately. That's the verdict of Admiral Moorer. That's the verdict of Dean Rusk. That's the verdict of Richard Helms, among others. And if you read through this information, you'll get a handle not simply on what happened then, but a handle on what's going on now in regard to the direction that our situation is taking in the Middle East, which quite clearly is leading to a much wider disaster. We'll be discussing that in further detail this morning at some point. When we get back to this Gary Luke piece for Counterpunch entitled Bomb Iran for Israel and America. But before we do that, I just wanted to mention a couple of other things. Next week on the show, I hope to get Greg Felton back on. Greg is the author of The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. It's a Dandelion Books publication. Greg is going to be on this show with some frequency. I want to utilize him in the same way, potentially, that I presently utilize Mark Glenn to analyze world developments and world news. Greg's agreed to do that. We just need to figure out the time frame in which it should happen. We're thinking that maybe after Father's Day he will start up with me on a regular basis with this so that we can continue to bring news slants to you, not simply mine, but Mark Glenn's and also Greg Felton's and others. Greg has a lot of connections up there in Vancouver, Canada, worldwide in regard to some of these most pressing concerns, and I want to avail myself of some of his sources. So that's something that's in the works for Mark Dankos America. Also wanted to mention that next week we're having a couple of interesting authors on this show toward the end of the week. Barrett Tillman is going to come back and be with us on Thursday, the 14th of June. He is the author of the new book on General Curtis LeMay entitled LeMay. That is a Palgrove Macmillan publication. But on Thursday, the 14th of June, Barrett Tillman is going to be talking about his very, very important work on the Marianas campaign during World War II. It's entitled Clash of the Carriers. That's Barrett Tillman, who will be with us on Thursday, the 14th of June, for 1 hour, 9 to 10 a.m. Central. He'll be talking about the Marianas campaign on the anniversary of that great battle. So if you know people who were involved in the Marianas campaign of World War II or who have a special academic interest in it, tell them to tune into this show on the 14th of June, the so-called Flag Day. Barrett Tillman will be on from 9 to 10 o'clock in the morning to discuss his book, Clash of the Carriers. And again, to reiterate what we have said before, he is the author of this brand new book on General Curtis LeMay, entitled LeMay. That's a part of the Great Generals series for Palgrove Macmillan. Barrett Tillman did a wonderful job some weeks ago of discussing that book on General LeMay. I know that he will do an identical job in regard to this whole business of the Marianas. That will be on Thursday, the 14th of June. Friday, the 15th of June, I'm going to have a very interesting and provocative guest on, a guy named John Dominic Crossan. I don't know John, but he has written a book which I want to cover in some detail. It's one of the things I have to read this weekend. John Dominic Crossan's book is entitled God and Empire, Jesus Against Rome, Then and Now. This is a Harper San Francisco publication, and John Dominic Crossan is going to be chatting with us about this whole situation that we presently face as it relates to delineating those things that are God's as opposed to those things that are Caesar's. And in regard to his book, I'm looking now at the jacket, the inside jacket of it, as Harper's in San Francisco has sent me a free copy. It says that at the heart of the Bible is a moral and ethical call to fight unjust superpowers, whether they are Babylon, Rome, or even America. From the divine punishment and promise found in Genesis, through the revolutionary messages of Jesus and Paul, John Dominic Crossan reveals what the Bible has to say about land and economy, violence and retribution, justice and peace, and ultimately redemption. In contrast to the oppressive Roman military occupation of the first century, he examines the meaning of the nonviolent kingdom of God prophesied by Jesus and the equality advocated by Paul to the early Christian churches. Crossan contrasts these messages of peace with the misinterpreted apocalyptic vision from the book of Revelation, which has been misrepresented by modern right-wing theologians and televangelists to justify U.S. military actions in the Middle East. That will be John Dominic Crossan on this show 1 week from today. He is the author of God and Empire, Jesus Against Rome, Then and Now. I'll get back to this a little bit when we come back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing how to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power. Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
We're back. This is Mark Danfoss, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been doing all kinds of things this morning. Mark Glenn hooked up with us from Minneapolis prior to going to Washington, D.C. Mark's going to be covering the USS Liberty Survivors Reunion in Tyson's Corner, Virginia. Going to be doing that today because it is the 40th anniversary of Israel's attack on the USS Liberty. Gary W. Brummett briefly joined us this morning from Tyson's Corner, Virginia. And out there, Gary had a lot of things to say, not simply today, but indicates that he wants to come back to discuss some new information that he has about what really transpired four decades ago. We're definitely going to get that scheduled for you either next week or the week beyond, depending on when Gary is able to be with us again. But this is an interesting story that won't go away. Check out USSLiberty.org, especially the War Crimes Report text in HTML and in PDF that you can find at the top of the page. I also mentioned a couple of other news items that are well worth your time. Yesterday's Financial Times of London on page 8 has a story by Tony Barber, indicating that five suspects in God's banker's murder have been cleared. You may remember Roberto Calvi, the Italian financier known as God's banker. He was found dead 25 years ago, hung from Blackfriars Bridge in London. There were five defendants in this case who have been cleared, and I mentioned their names earlier in the broadcast, but suffice it to say that the British police in 1982 treated Calvi's death as a suicide. The authorities in Rome, however, were convinced that it was linked to Calvi's connections with the Vatican's bank, the secret propaganda due P2 Masonic Lodge, and Italian political parties. Mark Glenn went on to remind me and to remind the listeners that Gordon Thomas's Gideon Spies, The Secret History of the Israeli Mossad, St. Martin's Press, which you can still buy at Barnes & Noble or at Borders. Gordon Thomas indicates in Gideon's Spies that this banking scandal from that time frame and the death of Calvi is directly linked to the fact that the Central Intelligence Agency and the Israeli Mossad were utilizing the Banco Ambrosiano and apparently utilizing this propaganda to do P2 Masonic Lodge to launder money for interests related, again, to the Central Intelligence Agency and the Israeli Mossad. So that's another story that we covered today, as the London Financial Times gives it to us as of yesterday in Gary Barber's byline from Rome. Then we spoke a little bit about illegal immigration today with special I'm here. Should I go ahead? We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. As I was just saying, this Tamar Jacoby story of Michael Collins Piper's in the American Free Press of June 4th is well worth your time, because it basically underscores what Mark Glenn has been trying to tell us for a very, very long period of time. We cannot understand the war in Iraq. We cannot understand illegal immigration. We cannot understand the abortion and homosexual controversies or any of the other things that have happened in this country, including the destruction of the manufacturing sector of our domestic economy, without seeing the ultimate central force that is behind it all. And that force, I insist, is the Israeli lobby and international Jewry. And as we look at this whole thing with with Michael Collins Piper this morning, he was simply saying that Tamar Jacoby, who is touted by many people in neocon circles as a conservative, is in fact one of the young lions of the hardline pro-Israel neocon clique that dominates official Washington. Ms. Jacoby, of course, has her connections to the Manhattan Institute. She has her connections as a former deputy editor of the op-ed page at the New York Times and a former senior editor of Newsweek. She was also married to the late Eric Brindel, another ex-Trotskyite turned neocon, who was an influential editor of billionaire Rupert Murdoch's New York Post. Rupert Murdoch, of course, is also the owner of Fox News, currently trying to take over Dow Jones. And as we look at all of this and the CFR connections and the London-based Royal Institute for International Affairs connections of Ms. Jacoby, it becomes very obvious that this illegal immigration situation cannot be fought, cannot be understood aside from the context in which we see its real backers and what the agenda of its real backers happens to be. If you take anything away from this show today, it's that, folks. We need to understand the nature of the enemy. We need to understand the cohesive character of his funding, the cohesive character of his network of associations, and what the total program is. Whether you're talking about cultural demise or you're talking about illegal immigration, whether you're talking about the balkanization of America or the present war for empire in the Middle East, it all traces back to the same people. This then brings us full circle to Gary Loop's piece today, Bomb Iran for Israel and America. This professor at Tufts University is talking about Norman Podhoretz of Commentary Magazine and the fact that Podhoretz has basically, in the Wall Street Journal, which I do look at every day, has issued of all things a virtual prayer that George Bush will attack Iran and potentially attack them with nuclear weapons. Podhoretz, of course, sounds the same themes as all of these other neoconservatives. He talks about World War II in terms of fascism, World War III, the Cold War, in terms of communism. Now he speaks of World War IV in the context of so-called Islamofascism. You will note that in all of these circumstances, of course, that these isms never reference Zionism, never reference that, never reference the whole business of the Rothschild Banking Consortium that has supported so many of these wars and conflicts, at least since the 18th century. But Islamofascism, Norman Podhoretz proclaims, is, quote, yet another mutation of the totalitarian disease we defeated first in the shape of Nazism and fascism and then in the shape of communism, unquote. Podhoretz does not identify the historical norm that became diseased and generated these pathologies, but presumably it is the bourgeois democracy that some see as the end of history, quote unquote, to which all humankind, cure of these diseases, will ultimately gravitate. The term Islamofascism has been around for a few decades and no doubt has some degree of analytical utility in some contexts, but the neocons and occasionally President Bush have used it to refer to Muslim targets as varied as the Syrian and Iraqi secular Ba'athist states, the Iranian Shiite mullocracy, Al-Qaeda cells, Palestinian militias, few of which offer a good match for any mainstream academic definition of fascism. The term is merely applied as an epithet to conflate disparate phenomena and to validate the, quote, war on terrorism, unquote, as something analogous to World War II. This historical model seems to me, says Gary Loop, a parody of the worst sort of crudely stagist Marxist historiography. It abandons attention to historical detail and suspends any requirement of logical analysis in favor of a triumphalist vision of the world as it will and must be. In this case, a world led by America, arm in arm with an Israel, finally freed of its foes through a final conflict, quote unquote. Organically linked evil isms follow one after another, and drawing upon historical experience, we, quote-unquote, gloriously defeat them. Podhoretz, born in 1930, wants to link the war on Islamofascism to the good war of his childhood in its anti-fascist moral purity and to the Cold War in its expected multi-generational duration. But one must really torture the facts to fit them into this paradigm and requisite system of historical analogies. The neocon project requires regime change throughout Southwest Asia, hence the vilification of leaders of Muslim nations as contemporary avatars of the 20th century figure most universally regarded as both frightening and evil. While Podhoretz's son John worked as a speechwriter for the first President Bush, the latter depicted Saddam Hussein as a new Hitler, quote-unquote. It was a preposterous analogy. Adolf Hitler had ruled one of the world's most powerful nations, which had been a world leader in science and industry from the 1880s, and won and lost a colonial empire from Tanganyika to Samoa. Saddam ruled a third world country dependent on foreign capital. Bush's 1 and 2 elevated this puny historical footnote to unwarranted epic status. There was no comparison. but the first Bush administration insisted on conflating the two, deploying the emotions of the past, or at least the confused historical memories of the masses, to build the case for the first war in Iraq. This is a hallmark of the neocons who boast that they are, quote, more interested in history than economics or sociology, unquote. What actually most interests them about the historical record is the possibility of raiding it to procure these false analogies that serve their objectives in the present. Quote, deception is the norm in political life, Abraham Shulsky, former Office of Special Plans operative, now heading the Iran Directorate at the Pentagon, wrote in 1999 in an essay entitled Leo Strauss and the World of Intelligence, and the hope to say nothing of its expectation, the expectation of establishing a politics that can dispense with it is the exception, unquote. Today's biggest deceptive analogy is between Hitler and Ahmadinejad and between the Munich Pact and the possibility of Western acceptance of Iran's nuclear power program. Ahmadinejad, declares Norman Podhoretz, is like Hitler. Quote, is a revolutionary, Ahmadinejad is, whose objective is to overturn the going international system and to replace it in the fullness of time with a new order dominated by Iran and ruled by the religio-political culture of Islamo-fascism. Like Hitler, too, he is entirely open about his intentions, although, again, like Hitler, he sometimes pretends that he wants nothing more than his country's just due. In the case of Hitler in 1938, this pretense took the form of claiming that no further demands would be made if sovereignty over the Sudetenland were transferred from Czechoslovakia to Germany. In the case of Ahmadinejad, the pretense takes the form of claiming that Iran is building nuclear facilities only for peaceful purposes and not for the production of bombs, unquote. One needs to repeat over and over again in the face of the latter assertion that the International Atomic Energy Agency has found no evidence for an Iranian nuclear weapons program. The September 2005 vote of the IAEA representatives labeling Iran in noncompliance with the NPT itself found no evidence of a military program, but rather accused Iran of having concealed some nuclear activities. Of the 35 nations then serving on the IAEA board, 13 voted against the September report or abstained from voting. The latter included highly significant countries like China, Russia, Mexico, Nigeria, South Africa, Venezuela, Brazil, Pakistan, and Vietnam. The resolution promoted by the bullying neocon U.S.-UN Ambassador John Bolton passed because the NATO nations voted as a bloc. Since that vote, the U.S., Dick Cheney, and the neocons in particular have relentlessly sought U.N. validation for an attack on Iran. They have now obtained UNSC resolutions demanding that Iran stop enriching uranium, something that the Non-Proliferation Treaty, of which Iran, unlike nuclear Israel, is a signatory, guarantees as a right to all signatory states. Iran's refusal to suspend enrichment operations gives the attack advocates their rationale for answering Podhoretz's prayer by the end of Bush's term in office, to demonstrate that Ahmadinejad has repeatedly and unequivocally, quote-unquote, announced Iran's intention to, quote, wipe Israel off the map, unquote, and is, quote, entirely open about his intentions, unquote, Norman Podhoretz can do no better than to recite the old tired canard about a speech the newly elected Iranian president gave on October the 25th, 2005, in a conference hall in Tehran. He quoted the Ayatollah Khomeini, who died in 1989, as saying, quote, the imam said this regime occupying Jerusalem must vanish from the page of time. Just as the Soviet Union disappeared, the Zionist regime will also vanish and humanity will be liberated, unquote. There was never any mention of a map, quote unquote. Repeat, there was never any mention of a map. The statement was mistranslated, and although it has been correctly translated many times by Juan Cole and others, people who want to believe that it called for the destruction of Israel continue to misconstrue it. Recall how this story was preceded by false reports in June and July of 2005 about how Ahmadinejad was among the students who seized the U.S. embassy in Tehran in 1979. It was followed in May of 2006 by the story planted in Canada's National Post about a plan by the Iranian parliament to badge all Iranian Jews, an obvious effort to depict the Iranian regime as a collection of latter-day Nazis. It was entirely false, but this is the sort of deception that Shulsky might regard as normative in political life. What of the argument that even if Iran had the bomb and wanted to wipe out the Jewish state, it would be constrained from doing so by mutually assured destruction? Podhoretz scornfully rejects this, citing at length a statement by Bernard Lewis, whom he calls, quote, the greatest authority of our time on the Islamic world, unquote, and whom others consider, quote, perhaps the most significant intellectual influence behind the invasion of Iraq, unquote. The late, great Edward Said described Lewis's writings on Muslim history as, quote, propaganda against his subject material, unquote, adding that his work is aggressively ideological, quote, unquote, and constitutes a, quote, project to debunk, to whittle down, and to discredit the Arabs and Islam, unquote, especially before conservative segments of the Jewish reading public and anyone who cares to listen, unquote. Mutual assured destruction, writes Lewis, as cited by Podhoretz, quote, this is Lewis now talking here. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Attention gardeners, if you've ever wanted to grow the absolute best tasting fruits and vegetables imaginable, well, here's exciting news. There's a new product called ProtoGrow, and it's dynamite in the garden. ProtoGrow is a bioactive superfood for plants. It works by providing true broad spectrum nutrition, allowing plants to achieve their full genetic expression. So what does this mean in the garden? It means mouth-watering fruits and vegetables, brilliantly colored flowers, herbs that finally grow to medicinal strength, blue ribbon garden produce jam-packed with bioavailable minerals and trace elements, giant pumpkins, even high-potency Hybrix wheatgrass. ProtoGrow is a proprietary blend of full-spectrum nutrients from the sea. It literally contains the basic building blocks of life itself. In fact, ProtoGrow is so effective at producing rapid plant growth in record time that it almost forces plants to grow even under the worst light and soil conditions. To grow tasty fruits and vegetables right now, go to growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
We're back. This is Mark. Mark Antoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Just to sum up where we are at this particular point, Mark Glenn of the American Free Press joined us for a while this morning from Minneapolis. Mark is on his way to Washington, D.C. to cover the USS Liberty and the survivors reunion there on this, the 40th anniversary of Israel's attack on the Liberty on June the 8th, 1967. Take a look at ussliberty.org, folks, and look at the war crimes report that has been filed with the Secretary of the Army and the Secretary of Defense. Read the complete text of that report, and let me know what you think this coming week in regard to whether Israel did or did not deliberately attack that vessel. I think I know what your answer will be if you read that report. We also talked a little bit about the story in yesterday's London Financial Times on page 8, coming to us from Tony Barber in Rome, that five suspects in God's banker's murder have been cleared. Roberto Calvi, the Italian financier who was involved in the Banco Ambrosiano scandal of the early 1980s and who was found dead hanging from Blackfriars Bridge in London 25 years ago. Five people were charged with his murder. Those five people have been acquitted in Rome of any involvement in killing Calvi. Whether they actually did or didn't do it is for God to decide, but they were acquitted. It's interesting, of course, as we mentioned on the air, that the British police in 1982 treated Calvi's death as a suicide, but the authorities in Rome were convinced that it was linked to Calvi's connection with the Vatican's bank, the secret Propaganda Due, or P2 Masonic Lodge, and Italian political parties. Gordon Thomas, Mark Glenn reminds us this morning, in Gideon Spies, The Secret History of the Israeli Mossad, indicates that the secret Propaganda Due, or P2 Masonic Lodge, situation with Banco Ambrosiano and the Vatican was in fact centrally involved, as was Roberto Calvi, in laundering money for the American Central Intelligence Agency and for the Israeli Mossad. That may be the final word on what we think about that particular circumstance from yesterday where these five suspects were cleared. We talked a little bit about illegal immigration today, and the fact that this present compromise bill, what the mainstream media says is a compromise bill, is in fact an amnesty bill, folks. If it should ever pass in any form, 12 to 20 million illegals will become citizens in this country. We will have, according to Frosty Wooldridge, 100 million additional people in this country in the next 30 years if that goes through. And how do we understand illegal immigration? What is the context in which we should see it? Michael Collins Piper, I think, has the final word on that this morning in regard to what he says about Tamar Jacoby on page 6 of the American Free Press of June 4th. Tamar Jacoby is Jewish. She's one of the young lions, as Mike Piper puts it, of the hardline pro-Israel neoconservative clique that dominates a wide array of public policy groups and think tanks in official Washington. She's currently a fixture at the Manhattan Institute, a neoconservative plotting stable, according to Piper. In fact, Ms. Jacoby's driving influence in illegal immigration and globalization is related to her status as a part of the international Jewish cabal, in my judgment, that has been manipulating so many things in this country in the last half century. It's noteworthy that she is a former deputy director of the op-ed page of the New York Times, former senior editor of Newsweek, married to the late Eric Brindell, who was an influential editor of Rupert Murdoch's New York Post. Ms. Jacoby belongs to the Council on Foreign Relations as well. That gives you the bottom line on that one. When we come back, we'll wrap things up. This is Mark Pancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Public Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
With